Your book, Harvest the Vote, was published in 2020. How Democrats Can Win Again in Rural America. Why this book? Why now?
When we thought Keystone XL, even though environmental groups and kind of national political groups were our allies on that issue, you know, I've walked into the room kind of representing farmers and ranchers and a lot of our tribal allies to talk strategy to the groups in D.C., and they had all these stereotypes about what it meant to be from rural Nebraska or to be from rural South Dakota. And they would often, not intentionally, right? And I don't think they even did it out of malice or harm, but they would kind of sneer at the lifestyle of farmers and ranchers and almost say that they were just as bad as big oil when it comes to pollution and climate change. And I really realized that there was a lot of misunderstanding, both on urban folks who live mostly in cities and have never really experienced rural America or had conversations with rural Americans. And as well as, I mean, it's a two-way street, right? This is true for rural America too, because when we were bringing farmers and ranchers to D.C. to lobby Capitol Hill or to, you know, engage in protests, you know, at the time when we were trying to get Barack Obama to be on our side, you know, they were like, you know, seriously worried about gun violence and drugs and kind of other issues that they, from their perspective, would experience when they got to Washington, D.C. So I really wanted to write a book that showed a more hopeful view of rural America and do that through the lens of our fight on Keystone XL, as well as other issues like immigration and gun reform. Because when you really get down to it, rural America does have a lot in common with urban America, right? The amount of hospitals that are closing in our rural communities, you know, Black and brown communities will tell you that they don't have proper access to hospitals. Same for, you know, grocery stores that sell, you know, fresh food. But there's also just this feeling of being the little guy and that government isn't looking out for us. And I think that communities of color and urban communities, as well as rural white communities, there's a lot of similarities and feelings. Now, that's talked about in very different ways. And I think the kind of QAnon culture that has been shown in documentaries the past couple of years and kind of this Trump country culture has really worsened the stereotype about rural America. But rural people really do feel forgotten. You know, they think the last time that Democrats showed their face and really fought for their vote was during the farm crisis. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now, there's also just a lot of bad communication that the party has not spent enough time and resources on, because the bills that we're passing, including the American Recovery Act, really include a lot of benefits for rural America. But, you know, when Democrats aren't showing up in our rural towns as much as Republicans are, and because Fox News and kind of let the right-wing media permeates often in our rural communities, those messages and those facts aren't being heard. And I didn't want books like The Hillbilly Elegy to be the only book that people kind of picked up to read about rural America. I wanted them to see a more progressive, a more populist, a more positive view of what it's like to live in our rural towns.
How do you think the rural Nebraska message will carry in Western Colorado and high desert states, especially the seven Colorado River Basin states, when their issue is water?
Yeah, water is a big issue too, obviously, in Nebraska. It's one of the big reasons, honestly, why farmers and ranchers first got involved in the Keystone fight was because of eminent domain and then because of water and just wanting to protect the Ogallala Aquifer. You know, water is going to be one of those big issues that all of our states and a lot of our small towns are going to have to link arms with, because you can see already on the horizon with Koch Industries as one example, there's several others that are out there that are buying up land and trying to buy up water rights because they know that that is where the next fight and the next kind of frontier is going to be, is around clean water and access to clean water, and water being such a major driver of so many economic activities in our state. Sometimes people ask me, well, how do you define rural? You know, and the government defines rural, you know, with a number, right? They say if a town is 50,000 or less, you know, that's classified as quote unquote rural. But rural looks very different in Louisiana than it does in Nebraska, than it does in Colorado. But I think the thread that ties us all together and the common kind of themes that you see is that rural communities really take big. They don't want big corporations coming into their towns and telling them how to not only live their lives, but how to use their natural resources, because they're the ones who live on that land to protect that land to pass down to future generations. So I think that that is the common thread. Now, how do we make sure that politicians that also carry that value are the ones that are representing those small towns? For me, that's one of the biggest divides that's currently happening, is you have politicians that are in D.C. representing small rural communities who aren't looking out for rural communities, who are really in the pocket of big corporations. And that's a challenge that us as Democrats have not solved yet, of really making sure that that message is clear and that people aren't just voting for Republican because their granddads did.
Most of the Democratic voters live on the Front Range, and, you know, that's basically where most of the state's population lives. And that's not to say that there aren't any Democrats on the West Slope, but in looking at Garfield County, for example, there are more active registered Republican voters than there are Democrats. And the unaffiliated numbers in, you know, Garfield County, neighboring counties like Rio Blanco, Moffitt, Mesa County to the west, the number of registered active unaffiliated voters dwarfs the Democrats. And it also dwarfs the Republicans. I mean, it's not just the fact that registered Republicans outnumber registered Democrats, it's that the registered unaffiliateds also outnumber the Democrats. So it seems almost like a no-win situation for Democrats in rural Colorado. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing this as a trend across the country in our rural communities, where Democrats used to have a foothold, especially during the years of like FDR and, you know, a couple years after that, but then started drifting to Republicans. And then the surge of independents came. And I think this is a couple reasons. One, in small towns, if you work at the newspaper, the hospital, the school, it's easier to be an independent than it is a Democrat, for cultural reasons, for professional reasons. That is a real phenomenon and a real life situation for some folks in our small towns. So it's just easier to be an independent than to claim you are a Democrat. And then for some, they just think that the Democratic Party has not talked to them or cared about the issues that they care about in their backyard. So why should I affiliate with that party any further? We've noticed with young people also, as young people are registering and as kind of new Americans, right? So immigrants that become American citizens are registering. They're also registering as independents. We have lost what it means to be a Democrat. And so when I did a voter registration drive once in an immigrant community where new American citizens were registering for the first time, they did not know the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And so, you know, we were there and a nonprofit group was there kind of describing the difference between Republicans and Democrats. But it really hit me at that time that we've done an awful job as the Democratic Party explaining what it means to be a Democrat. And so that has been defined for us. The other big, big structural problem is about 15 years ago, the Democratic Party decided to stop investing in voter registration. It was a strategic choice that they made. Instead, the millions and millions of dollars that would normally go on the ground in the states to register voters went to 501c3 nonpartisan groups, because a lot of the big donors thought, well, it's easier to give C3 donations, you know, I can get a tax write-off. And this is not a quote-unquote partisan activity. So let's just have all these C3 groups go out there and register voters, League of Women Voters, et cetera, and let the partisan political people just work on electing Democrats.